I've been thinking a lot about routines. Daily, weekly, there's just been this little voice in my head telling me to pull my life together and to create routines for myself and my family. So I thought about finding a fun fact or a scientific fact about routines to start off this episode, but instead I want you to just Google benefits of routines. Every single search result will tell you that having routines helps to lower stress. And if you are a listener of this podcast, chances are you've got some mental health issues and you are a human who deals with stress. So with spring coming on strong, one of my goals is to get into regular routines, and I want to invite you to join me. But let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So welcome to the Kim Wilkes Podcast. This is a podcast where I share about my experience healing from sexual abuse, as well as navigating other challenges and discussing my interests. I believe in healing through creativity, and that is something that I love to share. I took an extended break from the podcast and I'm still getting back into it, but I'm already starting to come up with fun ideas for where I'd like to take it. So I'm very excited to have you here. I'll be back after a word from today's sponsor. Today's discussion is going to be a little raw. The whole world has been pretty upset over what is currently going on in Ukraine and Russia. War is always devastating, and with how connected the world is today, the devastation has a way of bleeding right into our homes and everyday lives, even if we are far removed from the physical violence. What's going on right now has been especially heavy on my heart the past couple of weeks, because it's the first time in my life when I know people who are being affected personally. I have friends on both sides of that border. They are angry and scared, and through social media they've been able to share what's going on in real time. No curated headlines or political bias, just real unfiltered thoughts and footage of destruction and shooting and bombing and people hiding out in bomb shelters hoping they'll be able to get food. I lived in the western region of Russia for about a year, back in 2016-2017. I met a lot of amazing people. I was serving for my church, so the bulk of my interactions were based around Christ. And it was incredible to see the way the gospel of Jesus Christ brought hope into dark places. One person in particular I met was a man named Andre. He helped to run a small branch of our church in a little coastal city on the shore of the Black Sea called Novorossiysk. It was one of my favorite places to visit. I used to have to take a bus ride down there from where I was living in Krasnodar about once a week. So I was able to meet with Andrei a few times before he moved to Ukraine. A lot of people in Russia have ties to Ukraine, family, friends, and so it wasn't unusual for a Russian to move across the border. Though even 6 years ago when I was there, there was strange political tension over geography, specifically around Crimea. Crimea was a part of my mission area, and I remember that while I was there, only Russian-born volunteers were assigned to serve in Crimea. While it wasn't illegal, having a bunch of Americans going around trying to meet people in that area would likely have raised suspicion from local authorities that my leaders felt would be best to avoid. For context, this was the point in time when Russia passed a new law on churches proselyting. The Russian government essentially ran out all of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and myself, with all the other volunteers from my church who were in the country, had to lie low for a few weeks while lawyers worked to figure out what we'd legally be allowed to do moving forward. I say all this simply to paint a picture of how the Russian government has operated in past years. They really don't care about their citizens. You would cry if you saw how some of the elderly and sick live, but the Russian people are incredible. Anyway, back to Andre. So present day, he's living in Ukraine, and he runs a service delivering food and medicine to people who need it. Once the war broke out a few weeks ago, he started sharing on Instagram everything that was going on in his city. Literally, he has stuck his phone outside his window at night, and you can hear the bombs and the guns going off. He shared footage from driving down the streets during the day, and the buildings are now crumbling. You can see the fear and the sadness on his face. But he hasn't let it stop him. He's chosen to serve, and to continue using his resources and contacts to collect food and medicine and to take it to the people who need it and who can't get it for themselves. He's shared this amazing testimony of service and of hope, even in the midst of literal warfare. And then there is little old me, watching this play out on the tiny light-up box that I hold in my hand while I'm tucked safely into bed. The only sound outside my window, a bit of local traffic and the sprinklers going off. Over 6,000 miles away from the dangers that my friend is now facing on a daily basis. My last memories of him in person were on a sunny day, feeding bread to swans on the rocky beach of the Black Sea. That city, compared to where he lives now, would be the equivalent of me driving from Phoenix to Fresno. It's been years, and I've got a whole different life now, but it feels like I was there yesterday, and it's been so strange. There have been a few days when I've just cried and cried. The emotions build up, and there is so much frustration in being left as a spectator while friends suffer. I know so many of us are feeling it. All I can offer is prayers, and I realize that prayers aren't nothing. Prayer can be powerful, and in the end, it is truly only God who holds all power and who will set forth the justice and the mercy and the miracles. So I know that the prayers are worthwhile, but it also just hurts. And I think it hurts God too. So I wanted to digress into a different topic that has been on my mind a lot over the past year or so. I've spent many episodes talking about life after abuse, after trauma, and how that can shape a person's day-to-day experience. It can make a person more sensitive in ways that can be both positive and negative. I've seen a few different terms floating around, like empath or HSP, meaning highly sensitive person, to describe people who feel things deeply, who are intuitive, who sense energies and emotions and tend to take on those energies and emotions. Let's define a few things and then we can explore some of my thoughts. So first up, empath. The definition is a person with the paranormal ability to apprehend the mental or emotional state of another individual. And second is HSP. So the definition is a term for those who are thought to have an increased or deeper central nervous system sensitivity to a physical, emotional, or social stimuli. Some refer to this as having sensory processing sensitivity, or SPS. And you can find more on that from verywellmind.com. Now, as far as I am aware, neither of these things are diagnosable. Like, you can't go to your doctor and have a test done to see if they apply to you. They're a part of your personality, and a little bit of reading on either trait will make it pretty obvious to you if you do have the trait. And as a personality trait, they may be stronger or less evident in different people. Many people who consider themselves introverts will likely identify with some of the feelings I'll illustrate here. While they have their differences, both empaths and highly sensitive people share some of the same struggles, especially surrounding stress. Having heightened sensitivity to the world and the people around you adds up over time, and at some point, it can all become too much. You can picture a glass of water. If you continue to pour water into a full cup, it's just going to run over and make a mess, right? And this can happen to all of us when there's too much on our plate. We're overworked, underrested, different stressors pop up, and we get to a point where any little thing can set us off. We all have a capacity limit for stress. We all need time to relax, to detox, and to reset. So when you fall into the category of highly sensitive, not only do you find yourself under the normal stresses of work, family, and daily life, but everything in your environment can become a stressor. You might key in on the feeling of the elastic in your sock, or the smell of the unwashed dishes in the sink, or the brightness of the headlights on the road at night, or the sound of the air conditioning, and any of these things that most people would probably be unbothered by drive you nuts. You have a hyper-awareness of everything that makes it all the more challenging to relax. Then there's the social aspect. And this is where it becomes especially taxing on empaths. Every interaction with another person, even if it's a very positive one, can require a large amount of energetic output. And for empaths who not only sense but can take on the emotions of people around them, certain interactions can completely sap their energy. I can go more in depth on both of these traits, as well as how I think PTSD plays in, but I wanted to talk a bit about where I've found myself this past year. If you missed the last episode, then you should know that I welcomed a second baby girl to our family last summer. She is wonderful. But the whole process of bringing her into the world, from pregnancy to birth to postpartum, was an absolute beast. From the first few weeks of the pregnancy all the way through month 9, with very few breaks, I had the worst appetite. The thought of most foods would make me gag, so I had to identify anything I could stomach and force feed myself. I'm generally the primary cook in our household, so that meant the whole family was eating more processed food than we usually do, and while it got us through, it left us feeling pretty crummy. Back pain was another major discomfort. I already had a bad disc in my lower spine, and as the baby got bigger and my pelvis was forced to tilt more and more, my back had a difficult time adjusting. Going to physical therapy for pain management took the edge off some of the time, but there really wasn't a fix for it other than getting the baby out to remove the pressure. So I spent a lot of time either stretching or laying down. For reference, when I'm healthy, I enjoy eating nutritionally and being very active. I love exercise, and I hate feeling stuck. So, for 9 months, I was in this constant state of nausea. Any smell could be overwhelming. I had bodily pain that wouldn't go away. I was close to passing out a lot of the time. I struggled to sleep, and my hormones were sending my emotions all over the place. Oh, and I was caring for a toddler. And this was happening during COVID and the crazy politics and disasters of 2021. And because I am a highly sensitive person, each of these things felt extremely magnified. And because I'm an empath, anytime I'd look at the news or social media and see all of the terrible things going on in the world, the extra negativity would burrow its way into me. I was not okay. But by some miracle, the baby was healthy. And I knew that if I could just focus on the finish line, eventually I'd be able to get back to a state of normal. In the grand scheme of things, 9 months isn't very long. So I just had to figure out how to cope for those months. I already mentioned I was doing physical therapy and meeting with my doctor regularly to address the physical ailments. The rest of the time, I created what I call an emotional bubble. And disclaimer, before I go into this, I want to first say that I don't think this is a healthy way to live your life. It was purely a coping mechanism that got me through this very tough time. The pandemic made it pretty easy to avoid social gatherings, but things would still pop up when I'd have to interact with people, and I found that I could not handle any outside interaction. It pushed me over the edge and would spur panic attacks. I could tell anytime the attacks happened that it distressed the baby. So I stayed off social media for the most part, ignored calls and texts, and let my family know that I'd be out of touch for a few months. I only talked with my husband, my toddler, and my doctors, and spent the rest of the time trying to stay calm and manage all of my symptoms. I watched and read a lot of comedy, and my home became a sanctuary. I did everything I could to de-stress. Not everyone understood or took it well, but I wasn't in a state to communicate or to explain. Priority number one was keeping the baby inside me healthy and happy. I was so overloaded that the only way to ensure that was to cut myself off from the world. I know that sounds absolutely terrible. I do. And it was hard. But it was also really special to spend so much time with my little family of three before introducing a new baby into the mix. It was the last chunk of time for my first baby to still be my baby. We made some great memories. My husband and I learned how to lean on each other and support each other more than ever before. Our relationship deepened, even through the tough conversations and disagreements and frustrations that would pop up. I learned how to really rely on him. Not only that, but it was a time of personal growth. I've always prided myself on my self-discipline, on my productivity, being able to tough things out and keep things together even when I'm struggling. Being so beat down forced me to allow myself to rest. to take time for myself, and to start prioritizing my own well-being instead of finding my worth in being self-sacrificing. I had to shut out all of the noise to be able to see myself clearly. Once the baby came, I very slowly worked on opening up again. I've made a lot of progress in the past 7 months, but I'm still working on it. As my kids get older and their needs evolve, it feels like a juggling act, trying to care for them and for myself. I've spent a lot of time in prayer, and I can honestly say there's no way I would have made it through the whole experience without the help of my Savior. I was completely broken, but somehow I'm still here today. That is owed entirely to God's goodness. Even when I was mad at God for my having to go through it all, God never left me. I believe that true personal peace comes only from Jesus Christ. I know others will disagree, but in all I've been through in my life, Jesus Christ is the only person, the only thing to bring me real relief. And this brings me to one of the frequently asked questions I get whenever I ask you listeners what you want me to talk about here on the podcast. The question is, are you ever fully healed? Based on my own experience, I think there are ebbs and flows, and that's okay. Coping isn't healing, but there will likely be seasons when it's the best you can do. From there, you can take those experiences and choose to grow into a new and better place. I have peace that even though things are hard right now, I'm right where I'm meant to be, and that the growth that will come out of it will be worth the work. If there's anything you can take from this, let it be that mentality. The choice to look forward and upward in hope. I trust that things will get better as long as I don't give up. That doesn't mean there won't be plenty of breaking points, plenty of nights spent in tears, but there is purpose in all of it. We're going to leave it here today, but I would love to know what else you want to hear on the podcast. Send your requests, your questions, or your own experiences to my email, kim@kimwilks.com. Talk next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Kim Wilks podcast. I would love it if you followed the podcast wherever you listen and shared it with your friends. You can find me on Instagram @kimwilks.co to stay up to date until our next episode.